fear is going to drive you unless you let Jesus' love drive out your fear. Fear is going to drive you unless you let Jesus' love drive out your fear. Fear is going to drive you unless you let Jesus' love drive out your fear. Here's this quote from Martin Luther King Jr. we're going to start with today. Let's go to that. It's about fear. It says, next slide. It says, courage faces fear and thereby masters it. This idea, it takes guts to go and look at your fear, but that's the way to have control over it. Next part of the quote, cowardice represses, hides fear, and is thereby mastered by it. It's a lot easier to say, oh, I've got an anger problem. It's a lot easier to say, I'm really depressed, or I'm really sad, or really stressed, I'm really busy, I'm really addicted. All these things are easier to say. Even I'm really addicted is easier to say than to say I'm afraid. We don't even talk that way to ourselves, right? We're so ashamed of fear, we don't even face it in the way we even talk to ourselves. So I brought something from my house to show you guys. Brought it this morning. I've got it in this bag. So if I can get it out. I've got it in this bag because if you came up here, you'd be like, this is not a new shovel, you know? And this morning when I was getting it out, I brought it into my house to get the bag, which was a foolish decision. There was a bunch of stuff in my kitchen I had to sweep up because it's a dirty shovel, right? And the reason it's dirty, you might have guessed, is like it's my shovel, and I planted some stuff in my yard a couple months ago, and I didn't clean it up. Here's the thing about this dirty shovel. It does not help anything grow in your yard, right? Because I used it to dig up stuff in my yard. And today I had a big, long story to tell you that was about fear from me. And I think, honestly, it's more important for you guys to see the shovel, because the reality is, like, unless you face some junk from your own life, it's not going to plant anything pretty in your yard, right? So what I need us all to do today, I'll leave this somewhere where you can see it. What I need you to do, we got a short sermon today. Hopefully it'll stay. But what I need you to do is to face something in your own life. I've been around enough people. I'm a pastor. God has literally called me to help people turn from sin. And so I see a lot of sin in myself and in other people, and I can track it enough to tell you that, like, if you track whatever you failed at this week and you track it all the way to where it lives inside of you, there's going to be some fear there. And along the way, you could say, like, oh, it's just because I was busy. It's just because that person was so annoying. It's just because this. But if you go all the way back to where that sin lives inside of you, probably fear. There could be some other options, but my guess is we have plenty to work on if we just focus on that this morning. So my story was going to be about this fear of rejection that plagued me another stage of my life, maybe still plagues me. But I want to talk to you guys about something called fear buttons and something more recent. So go to this next slide. Had a counselor talk me through this once, really helped me out. He gave some language to stuff I didn't understand. So what he described with fear buttons, this isn't my terminology, but he said, basically, he was talking to Christy and I at the time, but he said, you guys have these fears, something happens and it presses one of your fear buttons, and then you're going to respond negatively, and then the other person's going to respond negatively, and then that keeps pressing each other's buttons, right? And you just get into the spiral down, right? But most of us don't pay any attention to, like, what triggers us. And we don't pay attention, especially to like the fear at the heart of what triggers us. So a more recent example than what I was going to share is Monday this week, I had to pause because the way I responded to this homeless lady that came up to me late at night on Monday made me like pause and realize like, uh-oh, like I've done something wrong. I offended this lady like the way that I responded to her. Apparently I was like so like over it and like not wanting to talk. She's just like, she was taken aback, which I don't know if she was like playing an angle or whatever, you know, but I realized like I was just a jerk to this lady, and I knew I was going to preach on these verses we're about to talk about. I was just like, oh no, you know, like I know this isn't good. The first thought I had was, man, I had so many meetings today. I got out of work later than normal work. You know, I got out of meetings here at church and stuff. And I was tired and stressed out. I could say all those things are the reasons that I was a jerk to this person who God made. But if I trace it all the way back and do the hard work with a shovel, the reality is, like, Jake, one of the things that drives Jake is, like, I have this fear. It comes out a lot as, like, duty and doing the right thing. But there's this fear inside of me of, like, I'm not good enough. Like, if I really do the hard work, like, I would not say that quickly. If I really do the hard work, though, there's a fear inside of me that drives me to go the extra mile, that I feel the most comfortable if I've pushed myself so hard to maybe even hurt myself for the sake of whatever's around me, then I think like, okay, like I've done enough. I have pushed myself to maybe even like an unhealthy spot, then I can relax. Well, why is that? That's not God's will. You could mask it like that, right? But there's a fear driving part of that. I'm not saying my whole life's driven by fear. I'm not saying I don't have the Holy Spirit working inside of me. But there's a piece of me that's broken, and it's afraid, right? It's afraid I'm not good enough, so I stretch myself thin to where when Jesus brings a broken person into my life, I don't have any Jesus left to give, right? Now, you all heard that, and you're like, man, Jake shouldn't be our pastor. Glad he doesn't call himself a pastor, you know, like, just coach, I guess, we can handle that. The reality is all of us could get up here, and if you would do a little, it doesn't take a lot of soul searching. You do a little bit of searching, you would see like there's something in me that's afraid of being abandoned, that's afraid of being in danger, it's afraid of being rejected, it's afraid of not being good enough. And it pushes you to do stuff that's wrong. If you look at like, why do I fail when I don't want to fail? Why am I not as patient as I want to be? Why did I hurt the person I don't want to hurt? Why did I get into a big argument with that person? Why does this business thing not work out? A lot of times, if you trace it all the way back, there will be some sort of fear that's pushing you, right? And there'll be some sort of buttons you can see. And this is why sometimes you get into the same sort of struggles with different people. It's because you're still the same, right? Like, your hangups are still there. So, back to that shovel. I'm going to keep coming back to there, but like, this talk so far does you no good if you don't look inside yourself and say, like, well, what's my deal? Like, what's driving me? What pushes me to be a jerk at times? Or what pushes me to be angry or bitter or whatever your deal is? Or to run away and put up huge walls? Maybe there's never every blow up, but somebody who thought they were your friend, suddenly you haven't talked to them in years and you're done with them. Like, well, why did that happen? Maybe there's some sort of fear that they triggered and it's like, boom, the wall goes up. If you look at yourself, you'll see like there's something weird I did that I can't really explain. And it'll be because somebody pressed a button in you that made you afraid. So that quote I gave you from Martin Luther King Jr., it's part of a sermon that he preached that has to do with this passage we're going to read. So let's read it. It's in 1 John chapter 4. If you got a Bible, you can turn there. It's almost the very end of the Bible is where 1 John's at. And here's where our passage starts today in verse 18 of chapter 4. It says, there is no fear in love. I got a long way to go as a husband, as a parent, as a pastor when I read that, right? Because there's fear mingled in me on stuff, right? It says, there's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. A lot of us think we have all sorts of problems that are just on the surface, but if you get to the root of it, a lot of us have a fear that's, this passage is saying, is rooted in punishment. This idea, like, I'm not who I'm supposed to be, and it's going to come back to get me. Next part of this verse. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. This idea of God's plan for you is to be made perfect in love. God wants to make it to where he can fully love you and you can be filled up with his love, not leaking out. And also, to where you can be loving other people. You can be right in tune with that perfect love. Verse 19, here's where some of the answer comes in. We love because Jesus first loved us. God first loved us. The passage, we read it earlier, in a previous sermon just a couple weeks ago. Jesus came for us. He took the first step to us. That's what this is saying. A lot of my fears about rejection or not being good enough, sometimes that'll drive me to do things to pursue some sort of acceptance or something like that. But if I will look at Jesus, Jesus has already done everything that I need to soothe all those fears and to push all those fears out. Jesus has already taken the first step to you. Whatever fear is inside of you that you're not good enough, that you'll never amount to anything, or that you'll fail people, or that you'll hurt the people you get close to, or that you're going to always be hurt, if you look at Jesus and see that Jesus came to earth, he left all the goodness we can't even imagine, and he came and suffered to reach out to you, to have a relationship with you. When you look at that love, it drives that fear out of you. Verse 20. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. So that was a fun verse to be thinking about on Monday night as I knew, like, here I am. This homeless woman is, like, offended by how much of, like, how I responded apparently to her. And I just thought, like, ooh, like, I'm going to get up and preach about God's love, and this is how I'm acting. That's what it says. It says, if you claim the love of God, yet you hate your brother. I obviously didn't hate this lady, but something off in me that needs to be made like Jesus, that isn't like Jesus right now, right? Rest of verse 20. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. This is a scary verse because it's saying you might think that you have this great relationship with God, but if you can't have good relationships with people that you can see right in front of you, like, maybe you're tricking yourself about how good your relationship with God is. Talked about at the beginning, fear will drive you unless Jesus' love drives out your fear. So, I've got a cool story from Martin Luther King Jr. I want to read you guys. And, man, I wish I could read the whole thing. We were running short on time, but here's the idea. During the bus boycott that happened in Alabama, this incredible time Martin Luther King Jr. is leading this protest, there's a lot of flack that he's getting. And in a particular week, he'd already been put in prison. He'd gotten a bunch of threats. During the same era, like, somebody blew up the front porch of his house trying to blow up him and his family. Like, they were in the house at the time. Or I think his kids were in the house. I think he had to come home to it. Fortunately, his family wasn't hurt. But, like, incredibly stressful. And he talks about, he says, one Monday evening, having gone through a tension-packed week, which included being arrested and receiving numerous threatening calls, I went to the mass meeting depressed and fear-stricken. Like, any of us that are ashamed to say that we are afraid, like Martin Luther King Jr. saying, I was afraid. In my address, I tried desperately to give an overt impression of strength and courage. But deep down within my soul of my inner life was the nagging serpent of fear, which left me poisoned with the fangs of depression. At the end of the meeting, Mother Pollard, that's this lady who's like 80 years old, this awesome, wise lady, came to the front of the church and said, "Come here, son." I immediately walked over and gave her a big hug. Then she said, "Something is wrong with you. You didn't talk strong tonight." Seeking to keep my fears to myself, I retorted, "Oh no, Mother Pollard, nothing's wrong. I'm feeling as fine as ever." That's what Martin Luther King Jr. told her. "Now you can't fool me," she said. "I knows something is wrong. Is it that we ain't doing things to please you? Or is it that the white folks is bothering you?" Before I could answer, she looked directly into my eyes and said, "I done told you, we is with you all the way." And don't you wish that you had friends like that? No, keep listen though, it gets better. And then, with a countenance beaming with quiet certainty, she concluded, "But even if we ain't with you, God's gonna take care of you." Everything in me quivered with the pulsing tremor of raw energy when she uttered those consoling words. Here's the deal. People are going to let you down. Like, I've experienced it. You've experienced it. Even if other people let you down, God's not going to let you down. When you have that sort of love, then you can love your enemies. Love your enemies is where the rubber really hits the road with Jesus. When you love people that don't treat you well. When you love people that you don't like. So final thing we're going to do before we get to celebrate some baptisms, which are coming here in just a minute, is we're going to do something new. We are going to do something I'm calling sit and stand. So I'm going to sit, and you guys are going to stand. Okay, we're going to change it up. So you guys stand up if you're able. If you're able, stand up. And if you've got a Bible, grab a Bible. And as you're standing, go ahead and put that slide up with the buttons. As we're standing, I want you to be honest with yourself. It's only going to help you if you're honest with yourself, honest with Jesus. What's a fear button that you have? Are you afraid of rejection? Are you afraid of abandonment? Are you afraid of not being good enough? When you know what you're afraid of, then you can bring it to Jesus. And I'm going to show you a way to bring it to Jesus. The Psalms are this gift to us. They help us to pray. And if you don't know how to pray, you got a big book in the Bible to help you, okay? So if you don't know where Psalms is at, it's easy to find. It's the biggest book in the Bible, and it's right in the middle. So you just kind of keep opening until you find it. Just keep trying. You'll find it pretty soon. So Psalms, this big book in the middle, we're going to look at Psalm 27. And here's the deal. When I think about courage, I think about Psalm 27. And this psalm is going to talk about being free from the fear of being forsaken. It's going to talk about being free from the fear of danger. It's going to talk about being free from the fear of everybody's against me and I can't make it. And it's going to talk about it has all that freedom because of this trust and this love for God. So I'm going to read it, but if you got it right in front of you, be reading it in your heart as like, this is my prayer. I'm trying to pray this. I'm trying to make this true in my heart. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above all the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord. Jesus, we are standing here and we are asking you to be our light, to drive out our fear with your love, so that we can love our brothers and sisters. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So guys, we got one more thing for you today, and it is a very good thing. So the whole mission here at Maywood is people find new life in Jesus. And if you guys want to grab a seat, the ceremony to kick that off, just like a wedding kicks off a marriage, baptism kicks off somebody's new life with Jesus. It's the ceremony we do to celebrate it. So I'm going to invite Carla Rose up here, and she's going to talk to us about these baptisms.
Hello. I'm Carla Rose, and my husband Brian and I teach, we just call it a baptism class. And what we do is we meet with people who already have taken that step in their lives, and we want to make sure they understand what they're doing. We have been doing this now since October of 2019, so we've been doing it for 2 years. It's gone by quickly. Because we've been doing it for 2 years, we are now at a point where we are going to start having a couple apprentice with us, and so we're going to teach them how to do the baptism class. And so Eddie and Sherry Muss, are you guys in the building? They're back there. They're going to be apprenticing with us. So that will start after the new year. So if you see different people up here when we do baptisms, that's what's going on. So we will get right to it. Our first baptism is Miss Angel Pangborn. She is a 9-year-old child. She is a wonderful little girl. When we met, we talked about what sin is and believing in God. And I said, "Why do you want to be baptized?" And she said, "Because I believe in Jesus." And so that's exactly right. And so Angel is committing all that she knows about herself right now to all that she knows about God. And so we are very excited for her. Her mom is Stephanie Rowe, and Stephanie was just baptized herself last month. So Stephanie is Stephanie is honored to be baptizing her child. Angel's got her little posse of friends down here to watch. Ray and Tracy Martin have been very influential in Angel's life. She comes on Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings, and she was very adamant, "I want Tracy to pray for me." So Tracy's going to pray for her.
One thing I want to say about Angel, she brings her Bible every week, and she is always ready to open that Bible and read a verse for me whenever I ask her to, and I love her so much, and you know me, I cry. So, okay, if you'll bow your heads with me. Father God, I just thank you so much for Angel, and I just pray that you will just be with her on this journey that she has started in her life. Thank you for just her willingness to learn more and more about you. She gets it, Lord. She knows what she's doing right now, and just be with her as she becomes part of our family. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, our next person that is coming in is Mary Rose George. And we have a lovely longtime member named Rose George. So when Mary Rose contacted me and, you know, her name was Mary Rose George, I thought, oh my goodness, I bet she's related to Rose. But she's not. But if she was related to Rose, it would be a wonderful thing because Rose is a lovely lady. But anyway, enough of that. Mary Rose, she and I had a very good conversation. Mary Rose currently lives at Good Foundation, and that has been a really good influence on her life. She shared with me some things that have happened in her life. One of the things that we talk about in this class is we always ask the person that moment when they knew, I need to be a follower of Jesus, and I want to be a follower of Jesus. So her moment is quite amazing. She had quite an experience. I'm not going to go into all the details, but to be quite honest, she should not be alive today. And in this experience that she had, it was only God. And she knew it immediately, and she realized, I have got to get my life where it needs to be. I've got to stop doing what I'm doing. God has saved me, and I want to follow God. So that's where she's at today. Carrie Price is her sponsor, so Carrie's going to be baptizing her. But before that, we're going to have Darren Jackson pray for her. Mary Rose has got some great spiritual influence in her life, and we're very thankful for that.
Morning, Maywood. So Mary came to us about 6 months ago, and she didn't do too good. She's being honest, right? And she left, and then she wanted to come back, and she went through a really horrible experience, which was necessary for her to surrender, you know. So, and I've seen a lot of change in you. It's just been amazing. So good job. Let's pray. Dear Lord in heaven, we come to you today. Dear Lord, you are the way, the truth, and you are the life. And we thank you for your grace, your love, your mercy. And thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to pray for Mary. And it's not really me praying, Lord, it's you and your Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, help us here today. And we just pray for Mary, and we thank you for Maywood and this sanctuary, for it's like a hospital, Lord. You bring people in here, and you save us, and you heal our broken lives and our souls, and bring us to you, and you are the author and finisher of our faith. And I just pray for Mary to have you and your spirit roaring through her and feeding her and blessing her as you carry her through the good times and the bad. Dear Lord, I pray that she remains grateful for those times where she sees you and grateful for the times when she doesn't see you, because you are always there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay, our last person to get baptized today is Patrick Moore. Patrick and I and Brian visited last week. Patrick has a very influential lady in his life who is his grandmother, and she's 100 years old. And he told us that she taught him about God as a child, so he knows about God. And she took him to church. He knew all of that. But he said, when I turned 14... something happened, and I've been screwed up since I was 14, and I'm now 45, and I'm tired of being screwed up. So he said, I want to get my life right. And he has been off alcohol for over a year, and he's he's 2 months sober from meth, and he is currently... he's currently living at Maple House, and so he is excited to be here. A couple of months ago, he came forward, and he prayed with Marcus and with Coach Jake, And that's when he made the commitment to follow God. And so he wanted Marcus to baptize him, and he wants Coach Jake to pray for him.
So excited for Patrick today. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for Patrick. I thank you for bringing him to Maywood. I thank you for his devotion to you, Lord. He took an Uber here this morning. He wanted to be here no matter what. Jesus, I pray for more and more freedom for Patrick. You've given him such a good grandmother. God, you blessed Maywood with Donna Mills, who was able to help Patrick the other day. And there's just so many different pieces that you've put together to help Patrick get to this moment. And Jesus, I pray you would prepare every moment forward for Patrick, that he would always have good people from your family, God, to be there with him. And God, that you would work through him to be a light to other people, like his grandmother has been a light to him. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, guys, a couple more things as we're closing up. One is, it's awesome to be at Maywood. We've got buddies down the street at Revive Church. They don't have a baptistry, so it seemed like a good idea today while the tub's full to have them come. So they are going to be here at 12:30, which is like 28 minutes from now. So at 12:30, we're going to be out of here so they can do a baptistry. Or you can stay and celebrate with them, I guess, if you want to do that. But Revive's going to be here using that, which is awesome. And one other thing to close out. I had to kind of rush through the sermon, but you know, that happened on Monday, and I've been spending time with Jesus. He's been working on me. You know, there's this moment the other day where I woke up, and I just was sitting in my closet. We have this tiny closet, but I was sitting in my closet, and I just said, Jesus, I'm sad today. And a lot of stuff was going on, and I don't have time to get into all that stuff. But Jesus has been there encouraging me about how much he loves me. And if you will open the door, if you'll be honest with Jesus this week, he will bring his love in, and his love will push your fears out. You don't have to fix yourself. You got to get close to Jesus and say, Jesus, this is the real me in all the ways I feel. And Jesus will bring his love into that, okay? If you don't know where to begin, start with that Psalm 27, okay? Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for new life at Maywood. Thank you for new life at Revive. And I pray for all the Christians in Independence that you would work through all of us to bring new life to this city. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.